How are you all? Happy New Year. Yeah, a few faces, a few visitors, you're very welcome. Lovely to have you with us on this cold but beautifully clear January morning. As we begin a new year, we want to continue on our journey as a community, as a family, seeking to live life with God. That is something we've been focusing on over the last, year and a half, 2 years now it must be. We did a whole year-long study on life with God when we looked at what Scripture says God is like, you know, how He is good, He is compassionate, He is loving, and He is holy. And then we took a look at who we are, that we are made in His image. We are the delight of His eyes, but we are also by nature sinners, but we are saved by a God who loves us through the death of Jesus on a cross. And then we looked at what our purpose was, and we saw that we were made to glorify God, but also as His church, we are to be intentional disciples who are busy about making other disciples. That's where we got to. That was our purpose, to be disciples who are intentional about making other disciples. And then more recently, we spent about three months looking at the book of Philippians, and we saw that we can grow and mature best when we are together, that we are united in this. We are a family in this. And we looked at the church in Philippi as an example of what that can look like. And we saw how we can be joyful even while suffering and finding life difficult. We saw that we can be partners in the gospel while being humble and other-centered, and how we can be thankful even in times of anxiety. And we saw all this we can do through Him who gives us strength. Now, in a couple of weeks, we are going to start a new series. Turn on your clicker. There we go. On the Sermon on the Mount. That's starting on the 21st of January. That's going to lead us all the way into the summer. So we're going to take our time looking at the Sermon on the Mount. We saw this is one of the main building blocks of Jesus' teaching, where He introduces us to a different kind of life, a life where we are citizens of a different kingdom. Although we are here on earth, we are citizens of a different king, where Jesus is king. It is a subversive kingdom. It is a kingdom that is here, but also a kingdom that is coming, that is not fully yet realized, but which we are invited to become a part of. And so before we start that series, though, on the 21st, we're going to spend a couple of weeks to introduce a new initiative that we're going to embark on as a church here in Swords Baptist. And this initiative is called Discover Your Gifting. Discover Your Gifting. In the book of Ephesians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, and we find there a charge to the leaders of the church in Ephesus to be intentional about equipping the people in the church for works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 13, Paul writes, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, for what purpose? To equip His people for works of service." So that's what we in the leadership of the church are to be about. We're to be about equipping you all for works of service. To what end? Well, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Why? Well, so that we will all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So how do we do that? How do we, who are put in positions of leadership in a local church, how do we help everyone find where they fit in a church? Well, Paul's vision for the church was never that it be a place where, you know, you turn up for an hour and a half and you hear some teaching and have a coffee and then go back to your busy life, and that is church. That was never Paul's vision for church. It was much broader than that. His intention was that we participate together in this life with God so that His body, the church, may be built up. And I think we do that well here, by the way. I think we do that well as a church. And so our hope in this initiative, the Discover Your Gifting course, it's not to get everyone into a rota and get everyone busy, because we're all very busy already. It's not to try and, you know, we're busy with kids and with jobs and shift work and all the rest. So it's not to get people who are busy more busy. Our hope is to help everyone in the church experience the freedom and the joy and the sense of fulfillment and purpose of being used by God as he created us to be. He has gifted us all individually quite differently. And there's great joy and freedom in being released into that, in being who God has created us to be. And for some, that may be helping out at kids' club or at doing the coffees on a Sunday morning or as part of the welcome team, whatever it might be. For others, it may be, you know, seeking to connect with people who are on the fringes during the week. It's not all taking place on a Sunday morning. Maybe meeting people for a coffee or a tea to check in how they're doing. For others, it might be, you know, discovering a passion that I didn't know I have in the whole area, maybe of art or music, and exploring that. For others, it may be caring for a family member at home who needs my full-time attention at the moment and my care. For others, it might be around the area of prayer, you know, being at home praying for people in the church and for one another. So there's lots of different ways that we can use who God made us to be, how he has gifted us to be in serving the broader church. But we all have a role to play in being the church. I think that's what I want to say this morning. We all have a role to play in being part of the local church. And I wonder for you this morning as you sit here and you hear that, are you aware what your role is? Do you find it hard to believe that maybe I have a role to play in this church? And I think the bigger the church, often the harder it is to find my role. You know, do you know how God has uniquely created and gifted you to be part of this family, this church, for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up? I think for a lot of us, it's very unclear. You know, we don't know exactly where we fit or how God has uniquely gifted us. We maybe have an idea that I kind of enjoy these kinds of things, but I'm not entirely sure how God has gifted me. Do I even have a role? You know, maybe I feel I'm not qualified to take on a role because I'm new around here, or I'm a new Christian. I wouldn't know what to do. Well, to help us explore this, we want to offer this initiative, Discover Your Gifting, which is it's a six-week intensive course for about an hour and a half a week for each of you to, as part of a small group, to explore what your gifting is, your gifting, your passion, and your personality. And it's really to explore how God has made me. And we've bought 100 copies of the participants' guide, and we've bought leaders' guide, and we've folks from the church here undergoing training at the moment to get ready for it. So we're very excited about what God is going to do with it. It's really made up of two parts. The first part is this six-week course, which is looking through what the Bible has to say on how we are gifted as individuals and what different gifts there are and how that might fit with who we are. And these courses are going to be run in various people's homes here in the Riesk, online, at different times of the week. Some are in the morning, some in the evenings. There's going to be one on Sunday afternoons after church. So we've put some sign-up sheets at the back there. We're going to talk about this over the next couple of weeks. But we'd love it if you would sign up for one of those courses, which for 6 weeks you will explore with a small group, what does the Bible have to say about spiritual gifting, and where do I fit in all of that? And then at the end of that, there is an option of a one-to-one consultation, sounds like a big word, but a chat with someone from the church where we will together explore what you discovered in that six-week course. What is God telling you from that 6 weeks exploring what your spiritual gift is, and help you be released into the joy and the freedom of using that gift, wherever that may be. That may be here in the church on a Sunday, it may be during the week in some local charity, who knows what it is. But we want to be, we're very excited about this, that this will really maybe help us in the start of a new year, have a new excitement and passion about what God has done, how God has created us each individually to be. So we'll be talking about this a lot over the next couple of weeks, but this morning, I suppose, this week and next week, we want to use the sermon slot just to explore the whole area of spiritual gifts. It's not something we talk about a whole lot here, but it's something I think that we can look at, the idea of God equipping us as individuals for service in his church. And I wonder how you react when you hear that word or that phrase, spiritual gift. Spiritual gift. What does that stir in you? I know some of us, I think, can start to feel a bit uncomfortable at the whole idea of spiritual gifts. I'd say there's a good proportion of people here have maybe been hurt by some abuse of spiritual gifts in the past. And so there can be a tendency for us, I think, to maybe not talk about it too much, or certainly to downplay the whole area of spiritual gifts. But I'm not sure we can do that. I mean, Paul and others throughout the New Testament talk a lot about spiritual gifts. We find it throughout our New Testament. Romans 1, for example, Paul writes, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you." So Paul is looking to impart some spiritual gift to the church in Rome. In 1 Timothy 4, he's writing to his young protege, Timothy, and he writes, "Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy when the body of elders laid their hands on you." And that's just two examples. Other examples throughout the New Testament, there's other lists of spiritual gifts. So there's a lot here that we need to explore. It seems like the Lord has given these spiritual gifts to the people in the church to strengthen the church, to build up the church. And that's what we want to explore over the coming weeks. Now, what are gifts of the Spirit? What are they? The gifts of the Spirit. What are we talking about when we use that phrase, gifts of the Spirit or spiritual gifts? I've come up with an attempt at a definition. Okay, you can disagree with me on this one over coffee. But spiritual gifts are a supernatural enabling given to us under the direction of the Holy Spirit to build up the church. I think that's getting close to it. Spiritual gifts are a supernatural enabling given to us under the direction of the Holy Spirit to build up the church. And so the idea of the spiritual gifts are that they are to empower me and each of you for service. They're not about me getting some superpower that makes me special and something I can brag about. They're about the glorification of Jesus, the elevation of the name of Jesus and the glory of God and the building up of the church as it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so this week and next week, we're going to focus on the place of spiritual gifts in the life of us as a body, as a local church. Because we do not want to be, as this passage starts out, we do not want to be uninformed about this. We want to have some, think about it together as a church before we launch into this discovery, our gifting initiative. Okay, do you understand where we're going? Okay, let's read together 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. This is a picture I took the other day. On Friday, we had a group came in to help us take down all the decorations. So the decorations were lovely, weren't they? But they have to go back in the box at the end of the Christmas. So a great example, actually, of us being a church and everyone using their gifts to come in and serve. So we had a bit of fun together. So thank you to all those who did that with us. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 to 11. "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed.' And no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines." Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for the start of a new year and the sense of starting something new together. Lord, we are excited about what you might do here as we explore how you have uniquely created each one of us and gifted us with different gifts.
Lord, it is something that for many of us will cause feelings of unease. But we pray, Father, that your Spirit will guide us in this, that we will, you will help us not to be uninformed, Lord, but to be clear about what your intentions are in terms of gifting us. We pray for this Discover Your Gifting initiative, Lord, just that we as a church will really grasp the vision of it, Lord, and the excitement of learning and enjoying the freedom of being released into how you created us to be. We submit it to you, Father. And as we look at the scripture today, Lord, we just pray that you would bring it alive for us, that you would speak to each one of us, and that we would go out here a changed people. In your name we pray. Amen. So the context of 1 Corinthians 12 is that Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, where there are various challenges. The Christians there who make up the church in Corinth mostly came from a pagan background. They weren't Christians very long. They didn't necessarily have a Jewish background. They were used to being influenced and moved by supernatural forces into a trance or an ecstatic state. And this was considered to be normal. And in fact, if it didn't happen, the reality of the divine force was to be questioned. So they were used to all this, a lot of noise and chaos. And they would have described themselves as spiritual, I think. But Paul would have maybe argued not in a good way. And I wonder, we in Ireland of 2024, we're not that dissimilar to how the Corinthian people were at that time, the time of Paul. We hear a lot of phrases, a lot of people say things today like, well, I'm spiritual, but I'm just not into church. Or I'm not into Christianity, but I'm spiritual. I think in Ireland today in 2024, there is a sense that we have to on our own to create our own destiny, to create our own future. But paradoxically, we're not unspiritual as a country. Kendall and I were in a bookshop just before Christmas. You know the new one upstairs in the pavilions? Dewberry, whatever. Lovely, lovely shop. But we went just hanging out. We went to the spirituality section. I think I saw one Bible, but everything else was around horoscopes, palmistry, tarot reading, crystals, all sorts of things, but nothing of Jesus. And I think that probably sums up where we are in terms of our spirituality today. There was stuff there on manifesting. Anyone know about manifesting? A new trend? Buzzword, the idea that you can manifest your own future. You know, if I want a particular job or a particular partner, I can bring it into being by kind of tapping into the power of the universe. This is manifesting. So we are quite spiritual as a country in one sense, but Jesus is not often at the center or part of it. So in a similar context to ours, Paul says to the Corinthians in verse 1, he says, don't be uninformed about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, it's interesting, all the commentaries that I read say this word gifts is not there in verse 1. The literal translation is, now about the spirituals, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. The translators put the word gift in there because the context of the rest of the chapter leads them to believe that he meant gifts. But Paul is saying, don't be uninformed in the whole area of the spirituals. Instead, he says, be controlled by the Spirit of God. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we are to be a Holy Spirit-led people, Paul says. This is what we as Christians are called to now. And he says, don't be led astray to mute, or other translations, to dumb idols. He says, before you met Jesus, when you were pagans, you were influenced, you were led astray by dumb idols. You were on a different path to what you are to be on now, Christians. And it calls us to ask ourselves, you know, are there dumb idols in our lives, in the world today? What would the dumb idols be in our lives? I think they're probably not a stone statue or something like that, but they're probably, they are that thing that I live for that is not God. What do I treat as God in my life that is not God? Those are the idols in my life. What gets in the way of me, you know, being completely sold out for God that is not God? And what is it that stops me living for him and for his purposes alone? What is that thing that I put on the pedestal of my life that directs how I live? You know, be it my career, more financial security, the well-being of my kids, whatever it might be, whatever I put it on the pedestal of my life and knock God off, that is, I suppose, potentially a dumb idol in my life. And there's a call here for us implicitly to reflect on what is it that influences me? What is it that drives me at the start of a new year? You know, what is it that causes me to make decisions about how I live? And Paul's point here is that it's the Holy Spirit is the one who should be in control, who should be guiding us. Verse 3, he says, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. You know, so don't be controlled by other spiritual forces and ideas and spiritualities, but by the Holy Spirit, who is all about proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. And he says the Holy Spirit is the giver of gifts. So one way that the Holy Spirit equips his church is through the giving of gifts to his people. And where am I? Yeah, he says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now, this word gifts here is interesting. Gifts. A gift is something I receive because the giver wants to give it to me. Isn't that right? A gift is not something I deserve. It's not something I can insist upon because I'm owed it. You know, I don't get all excited at the end of the month in my job because my salary comes through. You know, go, whoa, I got a salary. You know, I've earned that. I deserve that. Gift is different. So when we're talking about spiritual gifts, we're not talking about what we deserve. We're not talking about something that God should give us because we have behaved ourselves or because we are mature or because we've been around here a long time. It is a gift. And what this means as well, I suppose, is that our gifts can never be an arena of competition. You know, that I have this gift and you've only got that gift. I mean, the spiritual gifts must never be an arena of competition. What this also says is that the Holy Spirit is active. The Holy Spirit is active. He distributes gifts. He is at work. The Holy Spirit produces results, transformed lives, restored relationships, amazing testimonies. Tom Smale is a great name. He puts it this way. He says the Holy Spirit must never be or must not be spiritualized. The Holy Spirit must not be spiritualized. He operates in the body, and his business there is to produce visible glory, which all who have eyes for reality can see. He intends to make himself felt and known throughout his gifts, as well as by his fruit. So it's kind of this funny idea. Do we over-spiritualize the Holy Spirit? Do we make the Holy Spirit into something to be debated and studied and talked about rather than a person to be responded to? I think often we do. And someone to cooperate with. And so it's this question. Am I open to the Holy Spirit moving me to action, to behave differently? You know, do I know how the Holy Spirit has equipped me or gifted me towards the building up of Jesus' church? Because my gifting is for the common good. I suppose if you're going to walk away from here with any one point, and this is the one point I'd love you to take away. And if we read verse 7 of chapter 12, Paul writes, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. For the common good. So first of all, to each one. So this idea, we can each expect a gift. This is not for mature believers who've been believers for 10 years and, you know their Bibles inside out, or those who are more visible, more up front. Paul says, to each one, a gift is given. That's for all of us, every one of us, to every one of us, a gift is given. And if you don't know what that looks like for you, I think it would be good for us to explore it together. And so the question is not, you know, do I have a gift? That's not the question we're to be asking. It's more, how do I use the gift the Holy Spirit has given me? It's probably the better question to ask. Yeah. How do I use the gift the Holy Spirit has given me? And the gift that he's given me is for the common good. The purpose of my gift is to benefit the body. It is for the common good. It's not to build the individual up. It's not to make me feel better about myself or brag about what amazing gift I have or to be up front, whatever. The purpose of the gift that I've been given is to benefit the body. It's for the common good. And really for the rest of this chapter, chapter 12, Paul kind of unpacks this idea that the gift is for the common good. What does that look like, that the gifts we have are for the common good? Because we all want to be special. None of us want to be ordinary. And Paul would say, I think, yes, well, we are all amazing. We're all unique. But he would say our uniqueness is to be used for a singular purpose. And that is the glory of God and the lifting up of the name of Jesus. So how am I open to the Holy Spirit using the gift he has given me and my uniqueness to point people to Jesus and to build up his church? That's a question we are to be asking. Because we can sometimes think of our spiritual gift as kind of our superpower. I've got encouragement and you've got administration. What's your superpower? That's not the way the gifts are to be seen at all. The vision Paul presents here is not about me experiencing personal fulfillment through the exercise of my gift, but me finding where I fit within a larger body, within the local church, for its edification. So the Holy Spirit empowers me with gifts, but they are gifts to be used for others, to build others up, to build up Christ's body, the church. And so in a very real sense, the gift may be given to you, but it is not for you. The gift may be given to you, but it's not for you. And so the question I need to be asking myself is what has God given me that someone else in this church needs? So if God has given me the gift of encouragement, who is it that needs that encouragement from me at the moment? If the gift is for the common good, then what God has gifted me with is for someone else in this local church. So this is not, like I get something that makes me interesting or powerful, but how can I pour out what the Holy Spirit has given me by way of a gift? How does the Holy Spirit want me to use the gift he has given me for others? And when we're thinking in those terms, it's great because someone else in the church needs what I have. And that's the way the body of Christ functions. Someone needs the gift that the Holy Spirit has given me. And what it also means, I suppose, is when I disengage from church, someone else will miss out because I'm not there to use my gift for them. If my gift is encouragement and I pull back from church, well, someone is going to miss out from that because we're to operate together as a body. But we'll talk more about that next week. And finally, the Holy Spirit loves variety. Verse 4, Paul says, there are many different kinds of gifts. In this passage we're looking at today, there are 9 different spiritual gifts mentioned. There are other lists of gifts in 1 Peter, in Romans, some of them overlap. But God loves variety. I'm not going to go into detail on all these gifts this morning. That's what we're going to do in the Discover Your Gifting course over those 6 weeks, starting the end of January. But there are 9 mentioned here in this passage. Paul writes, to one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, so the ability to speak into someone's life words of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit, the ability to trust in God when all around us is failing and falling apart. To another, the gift of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. So there's 9 different gifts mentioned here. And there's another list, I said, in Romans, another in 1 Peter, and there's some overlap in those gifts. But we should see that there are many different gifts. And while there are many different gifts, they are all to be used for the common good, for the building up of the church, for pouring out into each other's lives. They are distributed by the Holy Spirit as he determines in building up his body, the church. The danger with these gifts, of course, is that over time, we tend to equate different with either better or worse. And that's always a danger. And we'll look at that more next week. We're very interested to know how this is landing with you. It's not something we talk about a lot, is it, spiritual gifts? But I'm genuinely excited to see what God will do here as we are open to his leading in this area. When we talked about this as a leadership this Discover Your Gifting course. There was genuine excitement about what people might, how people might be different when they experience this freedom of knowing how God has created them to be. I didn't see this in my life before until I did the course and someone spoke into my life saying, did you know that you have this particular gift or ability? It was very exciting. And we've seen people already taking on various roles in the welcome team and so on, and just to watch them enjoying that on a Sunday morning, I didn't know this was for me, and now I'm released into that. So our hope is not to burden people with another course, but that we, at the start of a new year, we really discover more about how God created us to be and enjoy the freedom and the sense of fulfillment and purpose from living that out. And imagine a church where all of us are aware of how God has gifted us, and we're all seeking to serve one another with those gifts. Wouldn't that be exciting? Let me leave you just a couple of questions. First of all, I think at the start of this passage, there's an implicit question: what influences me? Something to reflect on at the start of a new year. You know, is my life a Jesus is Lord kind of life, or is it one led by dumb idols? That's a question to reflect on. Secondly, what does it look like in my life for the Holy Spirit to use me for the common good? You know, we're not on our own in this. The Holy Spirit is active. Our role is to cooperate with Him, to be available to be used by Him as He builds up His church. But how does that look like for me? And if you don't know the answer to that question, well, that's exactly what the Discover Your Gifting course is for, is to help us explore that very question. How has God gifted me for service in His church? As I said, that may be here on a Sunday morning or in this building, but it may also be in my local community, serving in some local charity, befriending someone, serving a family member who needs more of my time at this time. So this is not a ploy to get everyone into rotas. This is trying really genuinely to release people into who God intended them to be. And finally, you know, I think, how do we honestly react to this idea of exploring our spiritual gifting? Does it make you nervous? Or is it something that fills you with excitement? Or maybe sort of going, maybe it's a bit, it's neither, it's a bit boring, I don't know. But talk about it over coffee. What is your reaction to this? I think we'll all react quite differently to it, depending on our backgrounds. But at the start of a new year, there's an invitation here for us to submit anew to the Lordship of Jesus in our lives and how he calls us to be as His local church, as directed by the Holy Spirit and to the glory of God. Let me pray for us. Father, thank you that you, when you left, you didn't leave us alone. You sent your Holy Spirit to be with us, and He has gifted us, each one, in different ways to build up your church. And Lord, that is not always clear to us what that is, but we pray for this upcoming initiative, Discover Your Gifting, that you will help us in that through your Spirit being active as we study Scripture, as we exist in a small group exploring this question, that you would help us to understand what that is. And Lord, that this will excite us, Lord, and just start a whole new chapter in each of our lives as we enjoy the freedom of being the people you want us to be and living from that, Lord, and not from a sense of shouldness and I ought and I have to, but just living out who you made us to be, Lord. How exciting that would be. So, Lord, we just commit this to you, this initiative. We pray for those who will be leading the small groups, those who will be doing the coaching afterwards. Lord, just that it will all be for your glory and for the edification of your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. So we'll have the sign-up sheets this week and next week. We're hoping to start the last week in January. We will talk more about this next week. But do talk to one another about it and, you know, sign up. If the group you want to join is full, put your name down anyway, and if we can fit you in, we will. If not, we might create another group on that same day or time. Thank you.